firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than...
How do you measure success in this world? Do you think it's similar to God's? Well, that's what we're talking about today on Through the Bible with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. And I'm Steve Schwetz, your host, inviting you to grab your copy of God's Word and hop aboard the Bible bus as we set out for Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. And while you find your place on the Bible bus, let's welcome Greg Harris, president of Through the Bible, who's here today to make a request.
Hey, Steve.
Greg, good to see you.
Good to see you.
So I understand that you want to invite our listeners to join us in doing something rather important.
I do.
And we're just talking about what defines success, at least from the world standards versus God's standards. And we think this is an opportunity that certainly defines Through the Bible success. So,
yeah, that's quite a setup you've given me. Well, basically, Steve, what we want to do this year is we want to further encourage our listening family to pray. And I know you are always asking people to join the World Prayer Team,
right.
And we will continue that. But perhaps if for some reason you don't feel you're ready for that commitment, we want to encourage you to pray for one region for a month. In other words, one request for one region per month. We want to keep it very simple. So as we go into this year, for example, we will talk about Western Europe.
Right.
And we will basically say, this month, would you please pray that God will stir the spiritual interest in the hearts of people who maybe don't have much spiritual interest,
right,
and draw them to Through the Bible in Western Europe. And then as you go through that month, we hope that the Holy Spirit will remind you to pray for that one single request. Because, Steve, we say it over and over again, but without prayer, this ministry will not go forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also want to try to make this a holistic approach to praying for a particular region of the world. So if you attend a church and your church has got missionaries in a particular region, mm-hmm, that you would take the time to figure out which ones those are, pray for them specifically, maybe even take the time to write a note to them of encouragement, and then incorporate those prayers into what you're praying with Through the Bible as well.
Yeah, and what we're trying to do, we all have too much information coming at us, and
yeah,
we recognize that. And so we're trying to say it's great to start with a simple commitment. So maybe you're not ready to join the World Prayer Team. That's okay. But if you want to pray for us, you can say, this month I'm going to pray for Western Europe. Well, maybe you miss a day or two. That's okay. But then,
right,
God brings it back to your attention. Or, as you said, Steve, maybe something's going on at your church and you see, oh, yeah, we have some missionaries in Italy from our church. And you pray that God will move in Western Europe, not only through the ministry Through the Bible, but through your local church's missionaries.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And then for those of you who maybe already have that level of commitment, you're on the World Prayer Team, go deeper. Do some additional research by going to Joshua Project.
Yes.net, I think it is, and operationworld.org. There, and you could just Google prayer resources. There's some wonderful prayer resources out there for praying for the whole world.
Yeah, and then finally, even as you're reading the news and watching TV about world events, you hear about something that's happening in a region that we're focusing on, and we're hoping that in that moment, you will stop and pray effectively for that part of the world.
That's a good point, Steve. As we're recording, and we do record in advance, but I was just in London a few days ago, and almost 750,000 people were protesting Brexit. So maybe you see that on the news and you think, well, I'll use that as a prompt to pray for Europe, to pray for Western Europe, to pray for the UK.
Yeah. And, you know, another resource that sometimes we forget about is our own newsletter.
Oh, yeah, that's a great resource.
There is great information. We're going to be focusing one region,
mm-hmm,
in that newsletter. So the newsletter that you get for the month that we're going to be focusing will be on that area, and you can pray effectively as a result of reading the content that we've provided.
Yeah, and we make it a nice size. You can slip it right in your Bible, and every time you open up your Bible, which is hopefully every day,
yep,
you can pray for that region of the world.
Great. Greg, why don't you pray for us as we begin our study?
Father, we know that this ministry cannot go forward without your power and your people beseeching you to empower and resource the global work of Through the Bible. Thank you for raising up people who have a heart to pray, and remind us with your Holy Spirit to keep praying for the whole word to reach the whole world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we continue on in the book of Proverbs, and we are here at Chapter 12 at verse 22 is where we're going to put in today. We left off at this point. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. And what he's saying here is, tell the truth. A child of God, there's one thing that should characterize his life, and that is that he tell the truth. Then we move on into this chapter. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Now, a prudent man will not say things that are going to hurt someone. We've probably been in a crowd when there's been some foolish person there, big mouth person generally, that says in that crowd something that casts a reflection on some individual, and always, of course, someone that's not present. And that's the thing that he's talking about here. A prudent man would not say that, but that is the heart of a fool that will say things like that. Then we read verse 24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Now, actually, some of these proverbs don't seem to fit in our contemporary culture. And, very frankly, I don't think they do, for the very simple reason, it's not always the diligent that's elected to office. And the slothful are the ones that pay taxes. I'm not sure it's that way today. I don't want to come in under the category of being lazy, but I do have to pay taxes. And very frankly, I feel like that they're excessive and extreme, and I think something should be done about the way that money is being spent. But I have gone over these proverbs again, actually in prayer. I have ask God for light on this, and I must confess an ignorance, but I believe that these proverbs are to all be considered in the light of eternity, that the measuring stick for proverbs is eternity, and it doesn't mean the local situation. It means in the light of eternity. And aren't we told today that someday that we are going to rule with Christ? And I think that that also means, provided we're diligent today, I do not believe that every believer in heaven is going to be on the same plane. I think there'll be different gradations. I personally would be very embarrassed if I found myself on the same plane of the apostles and sitting next to Paul the apostle. I'd be greatly, actually, humiliated because I don't think I belong there. And I think there'll be different planes. But I do think the diligent are to rule with him. And many of these proverbs are to be looked at, I believe, in the light of eternity. That would be my explanation of many of these that are here. And so many of them, though, are geared right down to shoe leather today. Now, will you notice verse 25? Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. In other words, how forcible are right words. You remember Job said to his friends, right words bring comfort and cheer and encouragement to those that are grieving or bitterness of spirit or having a problem. And we need to recognize that. You don't beat a person down that is having trouble at all. And then verse 26, the righteous searcheth out his neighbor, but the way of the lawless seduceth them. In other words, the righteous man wants to help his neighbor, but there are some neighbors that are going to try to hurt you, and we need to be very careful. The righteous man, if he finds you're wrong, he's going to come and talk to you about it and face you with it. Nathan was the best friend David ever had. And yet it was Nathan who had the courage to point his finger and said, you're the man, something you've got to straighten out in your life. Well, how wonderful that is to recognize that we've got a good friend, one of the best friends I ever had, a man who helped me through school. And when I first started in the ministry, the Lord was gracious to me, let me be pastor of a church. It had been my home church where people loved me, and they were very sympathetic with me because I was pretty much of an amateur to be pastor of such a large and prominent church in that day. but they were very good to me. And I never shall forget, I heard a man speak at Winona Lake. And to me, he was great. And I tried to imitate him. I even tried to imitate his accent. And my church discovered that. They just sat there and smiled. But very few said anything about it at all. And I had received no harsh criticism. This man who'd helped me through school, he invited me to lunch. He said to me just one thing, and I never shall forget it. It was a good proverb. He said, "Vernon, we would rather have a genuine Vernon McGee than an imitation anybody else." That's all he said. And friends, that's all he needed to say. Then from then on, I began being Vernon McGee. Now, that may not have been good, but it was better than trying to imitate somebody else. How forcible are right words. And the righteous, he searcheth out his neighbor. He helps his neighbor. But the lawless, he'll seduce him. He goes over and pats him on the back. And then when his back is turned, he crucifies him. My, how these proverbs gear right down into your neighborhood, right down into your church, right down where you work today. Now, verse 27, and some of them are rather humorous. This one is, "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting." In other words, he went out and shot a deer, but he was too lazy to skin the deer and cut up the meat, cook it and eat it. You've got to be lazy to be like that as a hunter. And there's many a fisherman that'll fish and won't clean the fish. But the substance, we're told, of a diligent man is precious. In other words, he takes care of that. And you remember Ruth, when she went out and gleaned in the field? Boaz had been generous to her, but you know, when she got home, we're told she beat out that which she had gleaned. I tell you, she was willing to take that which she had gotten in such an easy way, but she wanted to beat it out and make the grain. You know what she could have done? She could have come and thrown it down in front of Naomi and said, "Look, look what I done. I got it. Now you beat it out." But she didn't do that. What a spirit is revealed here in this type of a life. Won't hurt you to wash the dishes every now and then. I've learned since I've retired, I belong to a club known as the Honeydew Club. And I'm at home more now, and it's honeydew this and honeydew that. And I found out something that I quit doing a long time ago as a boy. I used to tell my mother, "When I grow up, I'm never going to wash dishes again." Well, I must be in my second childhood because I'm washing them again. But it won't hurt you to do that, by the way. Verse 28, "In the way of righteousness there is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death." What a wonderful vista opens to the child of God. Now, physical death is ahead of us if the Lord tarry, but eternal life is out yonder. Proverbs are to be looked at in the light of eternity, and that ought to give you a good day with that before you, Christian friend. Now in chapter 13, well, we're still in this section of learning some of the great principles of life, and they're all given to us here. "A wise son heareth his father's instruction." Though Solomon was not David's favorite son, Solomon at least listen to him. And he's an example of "a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." And this man Rehoboam, his son, would not listen. Boy, Rehoboam is really an example for us of the dark side or the negative side here in many of these proverbs. But there are others that we could find. Verse 2, "A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." There is a type of talking today that is gossip. It's foolish talking. As we've seen before, it borders on the borderline of being risque, of telling things that have a double meaning, this double entendre jokes that even get into Christian circles today, and they begin especially to get on this matter of sex. And I've noticed that many of these folk take courses on sex. My, they've had courses in it, and yet every now and then you hear of a home being broken up, a husband running away with another woman, and all that sort of thing. That's all the result of this type of borderline living. And that's the thing that we are being warned about here, and the young man is told to beware of it. Now we are told here, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. You remember Paul put it right on the line for the Thessalonians. There were some pious souls over there say, we're looking for the Lord to come, and they quit work. And Paul says, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. Let's not feed him. You're to work. And if you really believe the Lord's coming, it will make you a worker. Now he says, a righteous man hateth lying, but a lawless man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is perfect in the way, but lawlessness overthroweth the sinner. And this is truth in the inward parts. That is the background of practical righteousness. And that which is false, God hates it and cannot tolerate it. The child of God should recognize and deal with anything in his life. And this old nature of ours is inclined to lie. It just comes naturally for us to lie, but God says he hates it, and he will have to deal with that type of thing. Now, verse 7, there is that feigneth himself rich, yet hath nothing, and there is that feigneth himself poor, yet hath great riches. You know, here again is an example of this old nature that you and I have. If you're poor, you want to put on a front, keep up with the Joneses, and you pretend that you have something. That's the reason that some people today drive a Cadillac automobile. They want to impress folk, and they really can't afford it. They live in a neighborhood that they ought not to be living in. But on the other side, there are people that are wealthy today that always talking about how poor they are, and yet they are people of tremendous wealth. I used to have a man, a member of my church. He was a very wealthy man. He probably gave less than anyone else. Always talking about how high prices were and how much this cost him and all that sort of thing, and he'd be broke if things didn't get better, that type of thing. Both of these things are an abomination to God because it's hypocritical. It's putting up a front that we don't need to put up. We don't need to try to keep up with the Joneses. And then we ought not to act like we don't know the Joneses. We still ought to make them our neighbors. And we ought to be just what we are. And now will you notice, verse 8, the ransom of man's life for his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. And I must confess, I don't know what that proverb means, and I've tried to dig it out, but I cannot. Maybe you can enlighten me. Now, maybe the person that thinks I'm so ignorant may be able to help me at this point. Now, verse 9, the light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the lawless shall be put out. If you read the history of the kings of Israel, we've already been over that in this first time through in our five-year program of going through the Bible. I called attention to it. There is one line after another that become kings in the northern kingdom, and then they're cut off suddenly. And cut off in a violent manner by murder. That's what God says. The lamp of the lawless, it'll be put out. And how that happens again and again in this world today. The end of Hitler was not pretty. And by the way, the end of Stalin evidently was not. Apparently the doctors had a lot to do with ushering him into eternity. Verse 10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. When you find contention in a group, a neighborhood, or in a church, or in a church group, the basis of it is pride. Always that. And as someone has said, takes two to make a quarrel. Always. Then we have verse 11, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Now, we've found today again that these proverbs, here's one. That you've got to look at this in the light of eternity. That's the yardstick you have to put down on this. Because many men apparently knew they had very foolish offspring, rich men's sons. And so they've established a trust fund, or they put certain legal chains around their estate that the offspring can't get to it, but they can live off of the income. And today there are many rich men that never made a dime in their lives, to tell the truth. They wouldn't know how to work for a living at all. And yet they are heirs to a tremendous fortune. They just can't lay the hand on it. If they did, they'd spend it all. And we see that this proverb actually would not work in that situation at all. It needs to be looked at in the light of eternity. What are true riches? What really is wealth? Is it those stocks and bonds? Well, the individual is going to lose them someday because death took them away from the original owner. Nobody came in and stole them, but he stole away. He went off and left them. And that's going to happen to those that have it today. And then we have here, whoso, verse 13, despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understandeth giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. And again, you have all the way through this acknowledgement of God that he hates pride. He hates the lawless. He hates the hypocrite. He has no use for this type of thing that is in human nature. And that's the reason that old nature that you have and I have. God doesn't want anything that Vernon McGee does in the old nature. It's only what he can do through the new nature that God will accept today. And there's one thing for sure, he's not going to take Vernon McGee's old nature to heaven. And I'll be glad to get rid of it. All of these things that are inherent in all of us. And God makes it very clear. He says in Isaiah 66:2, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. And that's the way that you're going to have to come to God if you're going to be accepted of him. You can't come in pride. And then as you drop down into this chapter here, and I just want to lift out now a verse or two. Verse 12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. Hope deferred. You just keep hoping something that doesn't come to pass. And that's the reason that we ought to be in step with the will of God in our lives, because we hope for a great many things that are not realized at all. Now, verse 15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Always true. Always true. You can't escape that one. Verse 17, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. The thing today that's been very sad in our government is that we've had men that have had access to government secrets, to that which is top drawer as far as the policy of this country is concerned, and then the man is a homosexual and the enemy finds that out and he gets to him. Or the man has a weakness for alcohol. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief. And we need men of high integrity in our government today. It is important whether the man drinks or not. I think it's tragic that there's so many men high up in government that use alcohol. I think that is part of our problem as a nation, and we need to recognize that these basic proverbs seem so simple, are so important to our life as an individual and our life as a nation. Now, verse 22, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Verse 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And by the way, this is real child psychology. But for the child of God, he's told the same thing. The children are told to obey their parents, but the father is told, provoke not your children to wrath. That is, don't whip them or discipline them when you are angry or you're talking in a loud voice. Wait till you can calmly sit down with them and talk to them at a time like that. I think that's very important. That is the reason in my life that my father's discipline was so good. He never dealt with me until maybe a day had gone by. And I thought several times I got by with it, but it didn't. Then that time came, and he very calmly dealt with me. And I knew he was not doing what he did because he's angry. We need to recognize that. But discipline is very important. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Our study of Proverbs will take us all the way through the first week of January. So if you haven't yet gotten your free notes and outlines for Proverbs, visit ttb.org/notes to download your copy today. Or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE and we'll send an abbreviated copy of the entire set of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines in a paperback book called Briefing the Bible. Now, as we take a break from our study for the weekend, I hope that you'll join me for Dr. McGee's Sunday sermon titled, What Do You Do With Your Future? To listen online or see if your station carries the Sunday sermon, visit ttb.org. Well, I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you right back here on Monday as we continue to make our way through the Bible.
To be my own, sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.